Moncrief on News Talk.
I see a text in saying deaths to all robots, which is probably quite timely considering what we're going to next. This week saw two major events to promote the future of household robots. Neo, I think it's called 1X Technologies, Butler, and Optimus, the much heralded robot from Tesla. But will these robots actually be able to do any of the tasks they're promising to make our everyday lives easier? Joining us now is tech journalist Emmett Ryan, who's been investigating. Emmett, how are you today?
I'm good. And to answer your question simply, will they be able to help? Not for a long time, really, by the looks of it, Tom.
You wouldn't think that now if you looked at the videos and if you saw Elon Musk raving about them. He's acting like the future is here today. And
it's so polished, so wonderfully produced, lots of big talk. With Musk's robot called Optimus, which I assume, given Musk's habit, is named from the Transformers, Optimus Prime, knowing Musk, that's where the name comes from. That's being produced, you know, with Tesla involved, his car company. And it's been shown to do an awful lot in demos, which in no stage have been able to show exactly what is and what isn't autonomous, and it hasn't really been independently tested at all. Like, it's not been demonstrated, say, for, you know, a tech journalist or for anybody who's not involved in the company in real life, in practice. And the reason I'm very skeptical of what they can do there is seeing what the other robot, Neo, has been shown rather incapable of doing in the last week or so.
Just before we look at its drawbacks, what's it actually like? Are you talking a small box, or
it's designed to be sort of bipedal. Essentially, it's designed to look like a person, shaped like a person, not look like a person. Yeah. So it's got arms, it's got legs, it's got fingers, it's got a head. But it doesn't have, like, facial features or anything like that.
It's 5'6", isn't it?
The Neo is 5'6", and the Optimus is 5'8". Average-sized, I suppose some people would say. Like, you know, I'm being careful here because I'm 6'3", and if I refer to anything as short, I get in trouble, Tom.
I'm at the opposite end of that spectrum, you know, so...
I appreciate
your sensitivity.
Mid-size, and they weigh about 60 kilos each, the two of them.
That's a big enough thing.
Sorry, 30 kilos, 30 kilos
That's
each.
That's a big enough thing to have in your house.
Yeah, big enough, but, like, you know, it's slender enough when it's that height as well, like, you know, 30 kilos. So, relatively speaking, not too bad.
Right.
The problem is really what it does, or more accurately, what it's not
able to
do.
According to Neo, this can clean, it can load the dishwasher, it can greet guests.
Yes, and so there was two videos I watched when I was doing the research and the pieces I did for this week in the Times, and Irish Times, sorry, I should really make sure I mention who I actually wrote for. And so they had one video which was just themselves, and they had lots of examples, but very carefully, there was only two examples where they said it was showing the robot was actually acting autonomously, as in it wasn't being guided by a person. One was picking up a cup from somebody in a living room to bring into another room, and took quite a while doing that, and the other was opening a door. The problem is the other video, which is the Wall Street Journal, brilliant piece by Joanna Stern for them, where she was brought in by 1X to their demo suite. So it's all environment controlled by 1X to see a Neo in action. And, well, it gets bad and then it gets worse. So it first of all took to travel about 3 meters to get a bottle of water, took just over a minute. Then to put 3 items into a dishwasher, very clunkily, very disorganized, about 5 minutes. And the reason I said it gets worse is that these weren't actually autonomous actions, because this was a puppet, effectively. There was someone using a VR headset and sort of controllers to control absolutely every movement. So everything that this journalist experienced, again, in the perfect environment that these guys could create, 1X could create, none of it was autonomous. It was basically, like, you know, a very, very, very expensive puppet. And it is very expensive, by the way. So for people who want to get on the list to get this, they have two choices. Well, they have one big choice, which is to not do it. But the two choices, if they really want to get onto it, is pay $20,000 up front or a subscription of $499 a month. For this, you basically get a puppet you don't even control, because you've got to set time for someone. They call it expert mode. It's literally someone who connects via the internet and controls it with a VR set. Oh, yeah. Again, it gets worse, because the idea is that you will essentially, as this person owning the robot, be sending the data the robot picks up back to 1X so they can make the robot better. So essentially, would have, like, you or me, Tom, in another room, in another city, really, you know, controlling this robot, like, with the cameras in its controller, so we can see where everything is, to do these actions, but really not be any benefit to the house at all. And for the privilege of being essentially, you know, providing data to this company, you've got to pay.
Right. So they're using your daily experiences with this to train the robot.
Yes.
And you're signing over control of it while it's kind of doing that to an expert somewhere else.
Exactly. And again, you are paying for this privilege.
It sounds like a
Now, there will be enough people, there always is when it comes to these sort of things, who will pay for it, at least for the company to keep going. Whether it's enough for it to reach the level it needs to get to be useful to us, that's a much bigger question, because right now it is less intelligent than a robot vacuum cleaner most people would have, which is an awful lot less than $20,000 as well.
Right. So you have two things coming in. You have a robot, which is 5'6", which is that going to struggle to do everything in this? Like, if you moved a chair...
So it's designed to be able to handle, I think, about 150 pounds. I'm not sure what that converts to in kilograms, the robot. So that's like, you know, a mid-sized person, I suppose, or an average-sized person.
I mean more if it got used to walking up and down the corridor and you left a chair in the corridor.
Yeah, that's the thing, because again, it's all about learning the layout. Yeah. So not like the 1X experiment was in their perfect, you know, setup. Every house is different. Every house changes every day. Even the room we're in right now, like there's a chair in the corner.
Well, I have a teenage girl to that room. And, you know, things are going to...
Things get moved everywhere. And like for us,
towels,
nothing.
Cups, plates, you know, and discarded clothing.
I think we all forget just how important early learning is for, you know, us, because people go, but sure, we all learn to adapt to it. But that's the thing. The human brain is way smarter than any... Even the stupidest human brain is way smarter than any computer ever created. But also, you think about all the various things, you know, when you're if you've had kids, or if you're a toddler, or if you're just awkward like me, bumping around, knocking things over, you learn over time. So what for you and I is moving that chair 1 inch, we don't think, we just do it. That was years and years of experience, which we don't think about now, because again, it's just something we do every day. You know, of data going into, again, a much more powerful computer than we are capable of building right now.
Right. And, you know, famously the Daleks, which are as close to the robots that those of a certain generation are familiar with, they famously couldn't do stairs. And you always felt like, how can you really take an alien seriously who can't do stairs? Can these lads do stairs?
They certainly are designed that they are meant to be able to. Right now they can't, because again, they have to have the human controlling it. And I would imagine, we didn't see that in the demo, if it took 5 minutes to put 3 items in a dishwasher, well, let's just say I think the entirety of this show, Tom, could be spent going up 2 or 3 steps.
Put all this together and it's not sounding very impressive.
It's not, but like the challenge is enormous. Like, you know, because I mentioned like, you know, how we, as you know, people learn to just handle living in houses. But like, it's a phenomenal amount of data. And so these companies are coming out thinking, oh, we can do it now. We're so close. It's like, you're not really. Like, the reason a robot vacuum works is it's designed to have a couple of simple functions inside, which is an awful lot of computer power, but It works out what dirt is, and it works out what obstacles are. That's all it does. That's pretty much everything. And that's simple because, you know, as far as we're concerned, it took an awful lot of engineering to get that far, decades and decades of technology, really, to get that stage.
When you think about it, you're trying to work out the difference between a freshly made sandwich or one that's been lying on a table for 4 days.
Oh, yeah, sure. Even, like, I remember in the WSJ video, again, like, folding a jumper, and again, with a puppeteer, proved very, very challenging for it.
God. So, Musk is going half leather on this, isn't he?
But that's the ego. Like, he wants to be seen as this sort of Tony Stark type figure, like, you know, the man we should all be looking up to in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's overnight, like, got the approval for what could potentially be, although with an awful lot of caveats, a $1 trillion pay package.
Yes.
So
what world are you living in at all? My God. Well, bottom line of this, don't feel you should be investing at this point.
No, put your money into a robot vacuum cleaner. It's a lot cheaper and you actually know what it does.
Excellent stuff. Emmett, thank you very much indeed. That's Emmett Ryan there, tech journalist.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.